Amen. Thank you, Jason. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we come to you and we thank you that we have a Savior in Jesus in whom we can bring everything in our lives before Him. As we have just heard, it is nothing He has not seen before. We thank you that we have a Savior who meets us where we are. And in meeting us where we are, His desire is to save. And in saving, transform our very lives. So that we would no longer live like unsaved people, but that we would live as saved people by the mercy and grace of You, Almighty God. And so, as we have seen over the past several weeks, and we will continue to see this morning, help us to see the transformed life You have called us to live by Your grace and mercy and by the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, given to us through salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray, amen. If you have your Bible with you this morning, open to Luke chapter 19 with me, Luke chapter 19. We are in the fifth week of our summer series, Stories of Transformation. And I hope by now that you have realized that when Christ saves a person, that person lives a transformed life. Meaning they no longer live lives as they did before they were saved by Christ, but they live a life different. They no longer live the life of an unsaved person, but they live a life of a saved person through Jesus Christ. As we have noted and as we have seen, Christ saves people not just so they can go to heaven, but so that they will do the good works of God which God prepared beforehand so that they will walk in them, as Paul tells us in Ephesians 2:10 that was read a few moments ago here in our service. And we understand that with the help of God, through the work of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God at work in our lives, that if we are saved, then that leads to the good works of patience and faithfulness and obedience, righteousness, confidence in the Lord, and perseverance, as we have seen over the last 4 weeks. Well, this morning we turn to Luke chapter 19, and I want us to look at two more characteristics of a Christian who has been transformed by Christ, and those two characteristics being right confession and right action. In Luke's Gospel here in Luke chapter 19, verse 1 through 10, we see the story or the transformation of a man named Zacchaeus. And most of us are probably familiar with the story of Zacchaeus because as children, we were taught a song about him. We were taught that Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up into a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed by that way, he looked up in that tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down from there, for I'm going to your house today. I'm going to your house today." If you never sang that song, if you've not been taught that song, then I'm sorry you missed out on the prime opportunity to make fun of someone because of their short stature while you were at church. But the truth is, though Zacchaeus was a wee little man, that is not the point of that story. The point of that story or that song is what happened between Jesus and Zacchaeus as they meet. And so let's read the passage as recorded in Luke's Gospel, and let's note from this passage who Zacchaeus was before he met Jesus, what happens to Zacchaeus when he meets Jesus, and who Zacchaeus becomes after that meeting. Beginning to read here in verse 1 of Luke 19, we are told, "Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, For He, Jesus, was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to that place, He looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Beginning to look at this passage, we begin by noting who Zacchaeus was before meeting Jesus. We're actually told here in verse 2 who Zacchaeus was before meeting Jesus. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. Now you need to understand what that means for Zacchaeus. Tax collectors of that day were some of the most hated and despised people in all of Israel. They were hated because they represented the oppressive rule of the Roman government. Now, they were not hated and despised because they were tax collectors. There was nothing wrong with being a tax collector. It's, as I said, because they represented the Roman oppressive rule that they were hated. They were also hated, not just because they represented Rome, but they were also hated and despised because tax collectors were abusive with their position, often collecting illegitimate taxes, often extorting money from the people, often being dishonest and taking money from people through physical violence, intimidation, and cruelty. So as a tax collector, Zacchaeus was a scoundrel and a cheat. That is the best way to describe him. And such behavior, while making him rich, came at a great cost. Because you see, Zacchaeus was a Jew, which made the hatred of him even more intense. Because he is a Jew working for the oppressors of the Jews, Rome. And his role as a tax collector, becoming rich on the backs of his very own people, cost him dearly. Because being a Jew, Zacchaeus and all other Jewish tax collectors like him that worked for the Roman government, they were barred from the synagogue because they were considered unclean, and they were also cut off from the social relationships with other Jews. So they had no standing with their fellow Jews. They were deemed as unclean. They were deemed as being cut off from the nation of God. They were not allowed to come into the synagogue or the temple to worship God. And all the Jews were told, have no association with men like Zacchaeus. And so what that means is Zacchaeus and other tax collectors like him are only left with associating with their fellow tax collectors and other outcast sinners who were cut off from society. We discover in verse 2 that Zacchaeus was not just any regular tax collector, though. We are told that he was a chief tax collector, which means that he was the head of his region's tax collectors. So Zacchaeus was the top man over the region that Rome had entrusted to him, and all the common tax collectors under him had to pay a percentage of what they collected from the people. And Luke tells us as a result of this, Zacchaeus was a rich man. He became rich by taking advantage of his fellow Israelites. Well, more than Zacchaeus being a scoundrel and a cheat, the truth is, the reality is, Zacchaeus is a sinner in need of a Savior. He is a sinner in need of a Savior. In fact, we see this in this passage. We read in verses 3 and 4 that Zacchaeus had heard that Jesus was coming through his town, and Luke says he wanted to see who Jesus was. Now, Luke does not explicitly tell us why Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was, but based upon verses 9 and 10, it wasn't just for the sake of curiosity. It wasn't just to see Jesus perform a miracle. No, based on verse 9 and 10, Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus because he wanted the salvation that Jesus often spoke of. In fact, the fact that Zacchaeus runs in verse 4 to get ahead of the crowd so that he can climb into a position in a tree where he would see Jesus shows that his interest in Jesus is more than curiosity. And to understand that, you need to know a little bit about ancient Israelite culture and customs in that day. Because you see, in that culture, in the culture and the customs of that day, for a man to run, it meant he would have to gather up the tunic that he wore that often hung down to his ankles. He would have to gather that tunic up above his knees so that he could run freely. And for a man to expose his legs in such a way as that, that man would be undignified. So his running proves that he is more interested in Jesus than just on the level of curiosity. He is wanting to see Jesus on a deeper level. He is a sinner in need of a Savior. But the reality is, before Zacchaeus can meet the Savior he needs, there are two obstacles that he must overcome: the crowd and his own stature. Zacchaeus was a short man that couldn't see over the crowd. So to overcome that obstacle, the obstacle of his short stature, he runs ahead of the crowd and he climbs into a tree, which puts him above the crowd so he could see Jesus. But the other obstacle keeping Zacchaeus from seeing Jesus, perhaps the greater obstacle, was the crowd. For you see, Zacchaeus, being the chief tax collector for the region, he would have been well known. People knew who he was. And he would have been well despised and well hated. So it is not surprising that Zacchaeus cannot get through the crowd to see Jesus here. Perhaps the crowd was pushing Zacchaeus further and further back behind him. Perhaps as Zacchaeus was saying, "Excuse me, can I get through? I want to see Jesus." They were ignoring his words, ignoring him, thinking, "You have no place here and you will not see Jesus." To the crowd, Zacchaeus was not worth moving out of the way for. He was not worth them making a clear path so that he could see Jesus. And I would say there is a word here for us this Sunday morning. Are we a hindrance to others coming to see Jesus? When we have the attitude that certain people should not be welcomed into a church service, then we are being an obstacle that is preventing people from seeing Jesus. We must make sure that as followers of Christ, as Christians, we must make sure that we are not getting in the way of people who just want to see Jesus. We must make sure that we are keeping the pathway open and clear of all obstacles, that we are not getting in the way of someone and Jesus. It is sad when Christians are a hindrance to people seeing Jesus because of our unloving, unfriendly, judgmental attitude and heart. So we must make sure that we are not obstacles standing in the way of anyone who wants to see Jesus, but that we are instead signposts pointing people to Jesus. We never get in the way of someone and Jesus. And we always point them to Him. But then on another level, may we also not be like the crowd in verse 7. Grumbling about the action of Jesus seeking to save individuals whom we have deemed as being too far gone or unworthy of Jesus to save. Dear friends, the truth is none of us are worthy of salvation. But thank God, thank the Lord that in His grace and mercy He came to seek and to save the unworthy. So may we not hinder people from getting to Jesus, and may we not grumble over the kinds of people that Jesus is seeking to save. When a sinner enters into our midst, no matter who they are, where they come from, the lifestyle they are living at that current moment in their life, may we not take the attitude, "What are you doing here?" That was the attitude of this crowd. Zacchaeus, what are you doing here? And why in the world would a man like you want to have anything to do with Jesus? Just get out of here, Zacchaeus. May we not be a hindrance to those who are genuinely seeking Jesus. May we point them to Him. May we lovingly show them who He is. And may we not grumble over them when they come seeking Him and when He saves them. Now, thankfully, Zacchaeus is a determined man. He is not going to let the obstacles in his way stop him from seeing Jesus. Again, his actions show us that he is a sinner in need of a Savior. And perhaps this morning you are here, and like Zacchaeus, you have come to see Jesus. You want to know more about Jesus. You have heard the message of salvation, and you want to know more about the salvation that He offers. Then I want you to pay attention to what happens next as Zacchaeus meets Jesus. We read about the meeting in verse 5 and 6. Luke says, when Jesus came to the place, He looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. There's three things I want you to note from verse 5 and 6. First, note, Jesus goes to where Zacchaeus is. Zacchaeus does not come to Jesus. Jesus comes to him. The end of verse 4 tells us Jesus was about to pass through that way where Zacchaeus is. Zacchaeus is a sinner in need of a Savior, as we just saw. And if he is going to be saved, then it will happen as Jesus comes to save him. And to save sinners, Jesus must go to them. This was the whole point of His earthly ministry, just as He says in verse 10. He has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus meets Jesus because Jesus meets Zacchaeus where he is. Zacchaeus does not come to Jesus. Jesus goes to Zacchaeus. And there is a pattern here for us as Christians that if lost people are going to come to salvation, then we must go to where they are. We must take the gospel to them. Friends, gone are the days when people naturally flock to the church on Sunday morning. Those days are gone. And without a great movement of God in the hearts of people, those days will never be recovered. But perhaps those days are gone by the design of God to take His people, armed with the gospel of Jesus Christ, commissioned by Christ in Matthew 28, to go to the nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ, preaching Him and teaching His commands to them so they might obey Him and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So perhaps God in His great wisdom and design has made those days pass so that His people in their holy huddles within the walls of the church would leave the walls of the church and go to where the lost people are, armed with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Dear friends, they are not coming to us, and nor should we expect them to, because we are the ones called and commissioned by Jesus Christ to go where they are, to follow His pattern here in Luke 19, to go to the lost. So like Jesus, may we do that. May we go to where the lost are, and may we give them the saving message of the gospel. Salvation in anyone's life happens as the gospel is taken to them and as Jesus meets the lost sinner where they are. Jesus does not wait for the lost sinner to clean their life up and have it all together before He saves them. No, Jesus comes to the lost sinner where they are and He initiates salvation, which leads to the second thing we must note as Zacchaeus meets Jesus, that Jesus initiates the conversation. As Jesus is passing by where Zacchaeus is, in verse 5, at that place, Jesus looks up and says, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." So note, Jesus takes the initiative here. And if we want to see people saved in our families, if we want to see people saved in our town, then like Jesus, we must take the initiative in sharing the gospel with them. Lost people are not going to come to you and I and say, "Share the gospel with me." Because their heart has no desire for the gospel. They do not seek the Lord. They don't know the Lord. They don't even know they should be seeking Him. They may ask why you have the joy you have, why you have the hope that you have. And that is a gospel moment. But it is very uncommon for a lost person to come and say, "Tell me about Jesus. Tell me about salvation." So we must take the initiative. And if you are here and your mindset is, well, I'll share the gospel when I feel like sharing the gospel, then dear friend, you will never share the gospel. Because if you are waiting for the time where you feel like it, that time's never going to come. You will never feel like it. You must initiate the conversation with the lost person. Again, look here. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to hear about the salvation that perhaps he had heard Jesus speaking of, or perhaps someone had told him about, but he does not call out to Jesus. From that tree, he doesn't holler, "Hey, Jesus, here I am. Jesus, I want to talk to you." No. It is Jesus who stops where Zacchaeus is. And it is Jesus who looks up and calls him by name. Which is the third thing we need to note in this meeting, that Jesus calls Zacchaeus by name. I don't know if you've ever thought about this in Luke chapter 19. But how did Jesus know Zacchaeus' name? Was it supernatural knowledge? Was it because Zacchaeus was well known? Luke doesn't really tell us how Zacchaeus knew, or how Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name, because that's not what's important. What's important is that standing in the midst of a massive crowd of people, Jesus looks at one man, Zacchaeus, and He calls him by name and says, I must stay at your house today. The truth is, Zacchaeus may have thought he was seeking Jesus back in verse 3, but the truth is Jesus was seeking him according to verse 10. He came to seek and save that which was lost. In our efforts to reach the lost with the gospel, we must go to where they are. We must initiate the conversation, intentionally sharing the gospel with them, praying that as we do, Jesus will call them to salvation. This is why Jesus calls Zacchaeus by name. It is a call to salvation. He came seeking Zacchaeus for the purpose of saving him. By nature, the lost sinner does not seek Jesus. Paul in Romans 3:11 tells us, there is none who understands, there is none who seeks for God. Thinking back to Genesis chapter 3, back to Adam and Eve, our first parents, when they sinned, they hid from God. But what did God do? He came and He sought them. When Jesus was upon the earth, He says here in verse 10 that His ministry was to seek and to save the lost. Today, the Holy Spirit, through the church, is searching for lost sinners. This is the work of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, seeking the lost so that they might be saved. Now, God was clearly at work in Zacchaeus' heart before this moment. We aren't told how God was working in Zacchaeus' heart. Was it that Matthew, who was also a tax collector before following Jesus as one of His disciples, was it that Matthew told Zacchaeus about Jesus? Was it that Zacchaeus' wealth and riches were not bringing him the fulfillment he thought they would, so he was looking for something greater, and perhaps Jesus is that something greater? The Scripture does not provide us with the answer to those questions, but what it does tell us is that Jesus, the seeking Savior, will always find a sinner who is looking for a new beginning. Jesus knows not only who He will save, but where and when that salvation will occur. And for Zacchaeus, that moment was now, on this day when Jesus is passing through His own town, when Jesus looks up at him and calls him by name and says, come down, I must go to your house and stay at your house today. And verse 6 tells us, at the invitation of Jesus, Zacchaeus hurried and came down and received Jesus gladly. That is Zacchaeus' joyful reception of salvation through faith and alone in Jesus Christ alone. For someone here today, this is your moment of salvation. Jesus has brought you here on this Sunday morning so that you will hear that He is a Savior who seeks the lost. And His gaze is affixed upon you right now, and He is calling your name, saying, come, I must save you today. So surrender to Him today. Like Zacchaeus, joyfully receive salvation through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. Looking back now at our passage and turning to verse 8, I want to show you Zacchaeus after meeting Jesus. Verse 8 tells us that Zacchaeus and Jesus walked toward his home. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." Shane Pruitt, the National Next Gen Director for the North American Mission Board, recently posted on social media these words, "A Christianity that gets you into heaven while allowing you to continue living however you want to here on earth is a Christianity foreign to the New Testament. The gospel changes who you are, and then it also changes what you do. The salvation of Zacchaeus is evident from the transformation of his life, which shows itself in two ways. First, his transformation shows itself through his confession that Jesus is Lord. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says that if any person confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believes in their heart that God raised him from the dead, they will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth confesses, resulting in salvation. Zacchaeus calling Jesus Lord in verse 8 means that he sees Jesus as his master, the one whom he desires to please in how he lives. Jesus, you are Lord. And my life is yours. And you are the master. And you have every right to tell me how I am to live as your follower. But then second, his transformation shows itself through his actions of self-denial and restitution. He says in verse 8, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor." That's self-denial. He is a rich man, a wealthy man, and I'm going to give half of it away to those in need. He's taking what is his and freely giving it away to those in need without any expectation of return. And then he adds to that, "If I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." That's restitution. He is seeking to make right wrongs he has committed against others. Zacchaeus' heart has been changed from a selfish, "what can I get for myself" heart to a heart of generosity where he denies himself for the sake and needs of others. His heart has transformed from a greedy heart that cheats people out of their money to a heart that seeks forgiveness from the very ones he has wronged. This is what it means to be a Christian. To deny yourself daily, as Jesus says his followers are to do in Luke 9:23, and to put the needs of others above your own, as Paul describes in Philippians chapter 2, which was the very attitude of Christ himself. It means to seek forgiveness and reconciliation with the ones whom you have wronged. The actions of Zacchaeus are the actions of a repentant man who has been saved by Jesus. But if Zacchaeus' actions are not enough to prove that he has been saved and experienced transformation, then Jesus' declaration about Zacchaeus is. After meeting Jesus, repenting of his sin, and producing works that are in agreement with repentance, Jesus declares in verse 9, "Today salvation has come to Zacchaeus' house because he too is a son of Abraham." Jesus says, "Today Zacchaeus has been saved." Saved. Salvation has come. The lost Zacchaeus has been sought by the seeking Savior and has been saved. And this was not due to anything Zacchaeus had done or because he was racially a descendant of Abraham or because of the works that he produced. But it was because he had been sought by the Savior. And upon meeting the Savior, he repented of his sin and placed his faith in Jesus Christ alone to save him. Today, anyone who repents of their sin and places their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of their life, Jesus will make the same declaration of you as he did Zacchaeus. Salvation has come. The event of Luke chapter 19, verse 1 through 10, demonstrates for us the salvational work of God throughout history. God seeks sinners because there is none who seek for God, as Romans 3:11 says. Throughout history, God has continued to seek for the lost. There would be no reconciliation, salvation, forgiveness, or hope of heaven if He did not. This event in the life of a tax collector named Zacchaeus reminds us that Christ came into the world to rescue doomed sinners because God is a saving God. And it also informs us of the transformation that occurs when a person is saved by Jesus Christ and transformed by Him. Salvation not only changes who you are, but it changes what you do. And I have to ask, has the seeking Savior found you? Is He calling you to come and be saved today? Have you responded in faith and repentance to the seeking Savior who wants to save you? And finally, are you living a transformed life as one who's been saved by Christ, doing the good works which God prepared beforehand for you to do? Are you living the transformed life as we have seen in the lives of these people over the last 5 weeks? Because that is who Christ saved you to be. That is who He wants you to be. And that is how He wants you to live in a sinful world where He has called us to point people to Him. May we do so. Let's pray. God, we come to You. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the life-transforming power of salvation through Christ. Jesus, we thank You that You save us, not just to go to heaven, but You save us to transform us so that we will live like You, live a holy and righteous life in this world, live as a signpost, not hindering people from coming to You, but live as a signpost pointing people to You. May we follow the pattern You have given us here. If we are a Christian, may we follow the pattern of going to where the lost are, taking the initiative of sharing the gospel with them, praying that as we do, You will call that person's name and call them to salvation. Use us in that way to further Your kingdom here in Nettleton, in Mississippi, in this nation, and around the world. God, I pray for the lost person here today that they have heard the life-transforming message of the gospel. I pray that right now they would see and they would feel Your gaze is fixed upon them and You are calling their name, saying, "Come, I must save you today." And I pray that they would come and they would let us talk with them about that decision. Let us rejoice with them in that decision. I pray for others, God, who are dealing with weighty matters upon their heart, that You would give them peace, that they would see You are right there with them where they are in the midst of that trial, in the midst of that hardship. You're there. And lastly, I pray for those who might be considering church membership. I pray that You are moving in their heart saying, "I want you to join First Baptist and I want you to invest your life there and I want you to serve me there," then may we have the opportunity to talk with them about that today as well. But may all of this be done for Your glory, for Your great name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.